Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning Session 1, Message 4, Sowing Unto the Spirit. Scripture Reading, Galatians 6, 7 through 10.
Now today, we come to a very sobering word, all right? It's a sobering word, but it's a very helpful word. And I hope we could all really get something from this morning's time. Let's read the title together. Christ Lives in Me, Sowing Unto the Spirit. Sowing Unto the Spirit. And how about let's read Roman numeral 1. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And brothers A, according to Paul's view,
human life is a process of sowing. All that we say and do involves the sowing of seeds that will grow and
eventually be reaped. And sisters B, amen. Wow. whatever we do, virtually everything we do is an act of sowing. There is nothing that we can do that doesn't carry implications or doesn't affect not just ourselves, but others and those around us. I really like this verse, Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Not might also reap, he will also reap. This is a principle. And in the Bible, this is very, very clear. Now, there is a side of God's forgiveness. Hallelujah for God's forgiveness. And on the one hand, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's another side. There's another side. That is, we reap what we sow. On the one hand, God forgives, but on the other hand, we still reap the consequences of whatever we sow. So we shouldn't think, oh, I know God's going to forgive me. It doesn't matter if I just do this one little thing. No one's going to know. I'll just ask for forgiveness and everything's okay. No. That little website, that little picture on the internet is a little seed. That's a little seed. And I speak this to myself. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. And this is a serious matter. On the one hand, this is something to be very careful about. On the other hand, there's a great positive potential. All right, if we sow into the Spirit, woo, we will reap eternal life.
Amen.
But on the negative side, we have to be really, really careful. And I just want to spend most of my time here with an example from the Bible, really helpful example. I think all of us know this example, but I would like to use it. And that is the example of David. This is just incredible. I was looking at this. Okay, I think most of us know David was a man after God's heart. Was he used by the Lord? Absolutely. He was a man after God's heart. God used him so much in the Old Testament. He wrote many of the Psalms. He really, there was some real revelation. The Lord really used him. But David sowed one little seed, just one little seed, that almost completely undid God's economy in the Old Testament. It is just incredible. I think all of us know what he did, but it's here, it's in the verses in 2 Samuel 11. And, okay, I'll just read you this, these verses here. Okay, I'm just going to read two verses here. It says, "And at the turn of the year, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent out Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rab." Okay, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now here it is. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. "And late one afternoon, David rose from his bed and went for a walk on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look at." All right? It was just a look. It was just a look. Then what happened? Then he sent some servants to inquire about her, committed adultery. Then he murdered her husband, Uriah. He broke 5 of the 10 commandments. He broke 5 of the 10 commandments. All right, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal." He stole the wife. "You shall not covet." Yeah, he coveted. But it's just started. It just started with one little look. That's all it took. And that was just a little seed. Now, So here's David. Sorry. I'm just going to start off. This is not very... Yeah, let me see. This works. Okay, good. Okay, it just started with a little look. All right, then what happened? Of course, he broke 5 of the 10 commandments. That wasn't good. But then in 2 Samuel, in the next chapter, the prophet Nathan comes with a word to David, and this is what he says. He says, "Now therefore the sword will not depart from your house forever, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." So the curse is, or the reaping is, okay, the sword will not depart from your house. And do you remember what happens to David's household after he commits this sin? Do you remember? What happens is incest, rebellion, and murder. Within his family, what happens? Incest, rebellion, and murder. Okay, that's just in his family. Okay? So this is within his family. Not too long afterwards, you can see these three results: incest, rebellion, and murder. Again, but it just started with a little look. Just a little look. All right? Then there's this footnote. I don't know if you have your Old Testament with footnotes, but there's this footnote on 2 Samuel 10:1, and this is what the footnote says. Okay, David. Now, are we all men after God's heart? I believe we're here in the college training because, at least to a certain degree, we are. We are brothers and sisters according to God's heart. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Okay, David, being a man according to God's heart, afforded God the way to begin the age of the kingdom for establishing God's kingdom on the earth for his coming Christ. Wow, that is something. He afforded God the way to begin the age of the kingship. Now, listen to this. "How regrettable it was that David, at a crucial time of the evil one's temptation, did not exercise strong control over his lust, but indulged in it and committed a gross sin that offended God to the uttermost. God loved David, but because of his sin, David lost his standing and position." Okay, now get this. "As well as 11 of the 12 tribes." Eventually, what he did resulted... Okay, I'll keep reading it. Okay, this is what it says. David's sin... Here, I want you to get this sentence. David's sin sowed the seed of Solomon's corruption. So what happened is his son Solomon, having this example, ended up with 700 wives. Was it 300 wives? 300 wives and 700 concubines. The other way around. Okay. That one look, first of all, affected his whole family. Affected David's whole family. Second of all, in particular, it affected Solomon, who was the next king, which issued in the dividing of the God-given kingdom. Okay? So Israel was divided. And 11 of the tribes left. Or actually, I think it was 10. And then for David, there was only two. Benjamin and Judah. Yeah. Okay, so dividing. So the dividing of God's people can be traced back to that little look. Okay, that's not the end. And the seed of corruption, the seed, there it is, the word seed, all right? The seed of the corruption of Solomon's descendants in the kingship. Okay? What happened after this? There was, after division comes corruption. Then what comes after corruption? Which issued ultimately in the loss of the nation and the Holy Land of their fathers. All right? Loss of nation and Holy Land. In the captivity of the holy people. All right? I'm running out of room. And in their being scattered around the globe. Scattered around the globe. Okay? So I know all of you can't see this, but at least up until 1948, God's people, Israel, were scattered around the globe. Why were they scattered around the globe? You could say it all began right here. With that one little look. That one little look affected not just David, but it affected his family. It was the seed that sowed for Solomon's corruption. Solomon's corruption resulted in the dividing of Israel. They got into idolatry, corruption, the loss of the nation and the Holy Land. They went into captivity, and God's people were scattered. That is just a little seed. It starts as a little seed, but you can see the results. Okay, this is a sobering example. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. Amen. We take this again. I speak this to myself. We take this as a warning. On the one hand, again, did God forgive David? Yes, He did. Right in Psalm 51. David had a psalm of repentance, and he said, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. He asked for the Lord's forgiveness, and God did forgive him. But there was still the reaping from what he sowed. And even though God forgave him, you can see this. Yeah. 2 Samuel 12:10. Yeah, the footnote 1. And even though God did forgive David, okay, in the genealogy in Matthew 1, the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1, okay, you remember how it says, you know, this person begot this person, this person begot this person. All right. In verse 5, it says, Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, Obed begot Jesse. There's just a lot of simple things. Okay, but listen to this. Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon of her who had been the wife of Uriah. Isn't that something? It doesn't just say David begot Solomon. You know, Solomon begot Rehoboam. Or David begot Solomon of Bathsheba. Doesn't say that either. It says David begot Solomon of her who had been the wife of Uriah. His sin is recorded in Matthew 1. Even though God forgave him, the sin is still recorded in Christ's genealogy. I just want us to really be, I want us to really be, again, I speak this to myself as much as anybody else, but I really want us to be sober, that's right, when it comes to, now Brother Dave, he's going to cover the positive side, and there's just as much negative potential as there is for sowing into the flesh, there's just as much, if not more, positive potential for sowing unto the Spirit.
Amen.
So, you know, we can reverse this whole thing by looking at the Lord.
Amen.
But just one little look at the Lord, right, has changed so many people's lives. But I would like to say, in particular, on the internet, what we look at, we can't think that I can just look where I want to, when I want to, and that it will not have any effects. No, that is not. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, this is a very serious thing. Where our eyes go, where our ears go, what we say to other people, it will come back to us. And it will not just affect us. It can affect our family. It can affect future generations. And it can affect all of God's people. All right, just one little look. That's all it takes. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2. Let me read it to you. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. Now this is the good part. But he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life.
Amen.
We can either sow unto the Spirit to reap eternal life, or we can sow unto the flesh to reap corruption of the flesh. Number one, this is a very important point. There is no neutral ground. No neutral ground between the flesh and the Spirit. Our goal is either one or the other. It's one or the other. We're sowing. We get these two big buckets of seeds. It's either the flesh or it's the Spirit. And there's no neutral ground. There's no third seed. It's either the flesh or the Spirit. Number two, everything we do is a sowing, either unto our own flesh or unto the Spirit. And all our sowing issues in a reaping, either of corruption out of the flesh or of eternal life. Eternal life!
Amen.
Out of the Spirit!
Amen.
Isn't that good? Wow. Okay, B. How about brothers, point B?
To sow
unto the Spirit
means to sow with the view to accomplishing the purpose of the Spirit. This is to have the Spirit as our goal.
Can we read that again with a released Spirit?
Good. Let's read it.
Sow unto the Spirit means to sow with a view to accomplishing the purpose of the Spirit.
Amen.
This is to have the Spirit as our goal.
Amen. And sisters, just as much exercise of the Spirit, point one.
Amen.
Actually,
to walk by the Spirit is to sow unto the Spirit.
Amen.
Taking the Spirit as our goal in our lives and living.
Amen. Point two, brothers. Sowing unto the Spirit. Calling. Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Ministering Christ to others and fellowshipping in life that others may be edified.
Amen. Sisters, three.
We also sow unto the Spirit when we use our money for the Lord's purpose.
Amen. Point C, how about all together? To sow unto the flesh
means to sow with a view to accomplishing the purpose of the flesh. This is to have the flesh as the goal.
Amen. And brothers, one, the flesh includes everything
apart from the Spirit.
Wow.
As the expression of the old Adam, which is expressed practically in the flesh, and in the works of the flesh, as different aspects of a fleshly expression.
And then sisters, point two, if we live unto the flesh,
what we do as Christian work will not be effective.
All right, did you get that? This is a good point. You know, in the message following us, we're talking about the students rising up, right? The work should be in the hands of the students. But don't miss point two. If we live unto the flesh, what we do as Christian work will not be effective. What counts is not our working, but our sowing. All right? It's our living. We can never forget this. I just want to throw in one little positive example that I could think of from the Bible, okay, about just a little sowing, just a little something, but with great results, all right? And that is in John chapter 20, when the Lord Jesus was resurrected. Okay, this is John 20, verses 6 and 7. Okay, this is when the Lord, He was there, He had resurrected, and Peter and John had ran to the tomb. This is verse 5. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. However, he did not enter. Then Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered into the tomb, and he beheld the linen cloths lying there. So what are they looking at? They're looking at some linen cloths. The Lord's not there, but the linen cloths are. Now, verse 7. And the handkerchief which had been over his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in one place apart. All right? So when the Lord resurrected, he didn't just, throw off the linen cloths and get out of there. But no, he took the time to fold his handkerchief. And he folded this handkerchief, and it was there in the tomb. All right? Now, listen to this. This is a footnote again on verse 5. First of all, the Lord's leaving the linen cloths there became a great, it symbolizes the old creation. And by leaving the linen cloths there, he was saying, I leave the old creation in the tomb.
Wow.
Right? So that's one huge thing. But listen to this. If these things, all the things left in the tomb were a testimony to the Lord's resurrection, if these things had not been left there in good order, it would have been difficult for Peter and John to believe that the Lord had not been taken away by someone but had risen by himself. Isn't that good? So just by the fact that just a little folding, the Lord took a few extra seconds to fold that handkerchief and put it apart. That was a seed. And when Peter and John entered the tomb, they believed that he resurrected. Why? Because they saw the handkerchief was folded. So what we fold, how we make our bed, how we fold our clothes, that can have an impact on people. That's a sowing. Everything is a sowing in our Christian life. And we shouldn't excuse ourselves from all the little things. This is related to walking by the Spirit. Everything we do, everything we say, we just need to do our best to sow unto the Spirit. And if we do, we will reap eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Should we... something. Amen. Okay, Brother Dave.
Amen. How about we declare the banner three times? How about we stand up, declare the banner three times?
Christ lives in me! Christ lives in me! Christ lives in me!
Amen. Oh, Christ lives in me!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. That was a very, very sobering word. And I think we all need that, right? We need to hear such a word to remind us how important every little thing that we do is, because our whole life is a sowing. Our human life, whatever we're doing, as our brother shared, is a sowing. One thing about David's sin, why was he standing there? Why was he standing there looking? Because he was unoccupied. He had no schedule at the time. He had finished a battle, I believe. He was resting, kind of enjoying the victory. And there he was with time on his hands, and he was just looking. So he was distracted. He was drawn off. And that became a seed of corruption that resulted in the scattering of the children of Israel eventually. Well, I do want to emphasize the positive, but... I just want to kind of review this matter that our human life is a sowing. The Lord Jesus himself came to sow himself into humanity, right? Even in Matthew 13, he said, "Behold, a sower goes forth to sow." right? So when he came to the earth, his whole living, including all the way through his death and resurrection and even the folding of the linen cloths, everything he did was a sowing. And he was sowing himself into us. You know, we're the soil, right? So when Christ came, he began the sowing work. And eventually the harvest of his sowing, you know, I got touched by this during the training. We were doing some reviewing and we were going through Acts and we were looking at the day of Pentecost. You know, the day of Pentecost, that's when the Spirit was poured out and the church was formed, right? And Pentecost is a feast of harvest,
yeah.
Right? This is the harvest,
yeah.
Right? So where was the sowing? The sowing was the Lord Jesus came incarnated and began to speak himself into the disciples, and even through his not speaking, everything he did was a sowing. So everything we do is also a sowing, right? Lord Jesus, our actions, our words, the things we say, the things we don't say, saints, even our thoughts, that's a sowing, right? Sometimes, you know, I wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, I wake up in the morning and I just had a weird dream, right? And I start to think about that dream and I realize, Lord Jesus, that if I continue to dwell on that, that's a big sowing to my flesh. And that will reap corruption in my day. So that's why we need to kind of be violent with ourselves,
right,
to turn our mind to set it on the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
amen.
I don't agree with that dream.
Amen.
I don't agree with those thoughts.
Amen.
You know, and even during the day, just thoughts will come in, right? We're just walking to class, you know, and we see something, a billboard, or somebody says something to us, and right away the thoughts just start to go. We need to realize that Satan is trying to sow something into us. And we need to reject that and deny that. Lord Jesus, so we could sow to the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So then we have to see that, you know, in nature, I mean, it's obvious, right? We were walking to lunch the other day, and I walked up, and there's this giant redwood tree just shooting up, you know, great big huge trunk. I mean, it's not a giant sequoia like at Calaveras, big trees, but it was really big. And I was saying to a brother, I don't know who he was, but I said, wow, just think, that came from a little seed, right? But that took a long time for that tree to grow. I mean, that must be at least, you know, maybe 75 years old, maybe 100 years old. So we have to realize that sowing takes time. I mean, reaping what you sow takes time. Sowing actually happens quickly, but reaping takes time. And the higher the life, the longer it takes to reap, right? So when we sow to the flesh, we may see something right away, you know. We see that billboard, we start thinking the thoughts, and right away something comes out of our mouth, you know, or we say something that's off color, or, you know, this is a reaping very quickly, like mushrooms. They spring up overnight. But a tree takes a long time. Well, praise the Lord, saints, we have the life of God. Right, we have the eternal life of God, but we need to keep sowing to this life. We need to keep, having this life even as a goal. Right, what I really want to focus on is we need goals. Lord Jesus, even let's read. How about we read Roman numeral 3, and then point A all together. And let us not lose heart in doing what is good. For in the proper season we will reap if we do not faint. A. In principle, what we sow unto the Spirit will usually grow more slowly than what we sow unto the flesh. This is the reason that Paul encourages not to lose heart, sowing unto the Spirit. Amen. So we shouldn't lose heart. Saints, when we sow, you know, all of you here are sowing, and you've been sowing a lot to the Spirit. I've been watching you, right? During the breaks, you've got your memory verses out, and you're memorizing those verses. Don't think that's a small thing. And don't think what you're doing is just so you can do a good performance in front of all the rest of the students or the serving ones. And don't think it's just so you can get some kind of material prize. But what you're doing is you're sowing unto the Spirit to reap eternal life. The Word of God is surely one of the biggest seeds that reaps eternal life, right? And the more you spend time in that Word, pray reading that word, exercise, memorize, put that word in your mind. Get it in there. That word will operate in you. That word will reap eternal life. You know, yesterday our brother said something, and you don't mind if I say this, right? You said, don't take reading the Bible as a law. And I agree with that. Don't make it a law, but make it a goal. We need to have some goals, right? Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. Let's go ahead and read B together. How about? The Lord's work of sowing himself into the disciples was a long process. For the Lord to take 3.5 years accomplishing sowing of himself into Peter
and the other disciples was not too long, because to him 1,000 years are as one day.
Amen. 1,000 years are as one day. Actually, there's another verse in James that I was considering this morning. You know, sowing, you know, the sowers in the world, of course, are the farmers, right? Praise the Lord for farmers. You know, we've been eating a lot of good fruit, right, in the evenings. That's because some have been very diligent to plant. Have you ever been by an orchard? You ever seen an orchard? You ever think about, and then, by the way, there's a lot of grafting, right, that goes on in an orchard. You look at those trees, they're like, sometimes they're two different colors, you know, the trunk is one color and the top is another. But those trees take a long time to grow, right? And eventually, you know, when they first start out, they're just these little saplings, these little twigs sticking out of the ground. And that farmer has to go and take care of those trees every day. He has to water them, he has to make sure there's no pests or bugs or animals to eat them. And he goes up day after day after day, year after year after year, and eventually he starts producing fruit, right? And that fruit gets harvested, and then we all enjoy the riches, and the fruit just keeps coming and coming. But it took that farmer years. You know, we live in an age when we all like to see things, you know, right now, right? We got instant text messaging. You know, we have our cell phones. I mean, you know, everybody's walking around talking on the cell phone. They got to tell their best friend what happened, you know, 2 minutes ago, to update them, you know, or Twittering or all these different things, right? It's an instant age, and then we want our food right now. You know, we stick it in the microwave, we get it right back, you know. But some things take time. The things of the Spirit take time. So we shouldn't lose heart. We shouldn't, you know, be discouraged if we don't see the growth in life that we expect to see right away. Or even if we're laboring with somebody, a young person. You know, I hope all of you have a consideration to shepherd some others, right? You know, we're not here just for ourselves. We're here to build up the body of Christ, right? And praise the Lord, you've been preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And some have been getting saved. This is a marvelous sowing, right? But there's the other part of that is all those ones that you've saved need someone to go and to shepherd them. And I hope the team in Sacramento, I hope we'll pick up a lot of those ones, you know. And but that takes a long time to keep sowing something into them. Well, anyway, the verse I wanted to read was James 5:7. It says, "Therefore be long-suffering, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer eagerly awaits the precious fruit of the earth, exercising long suffering over it until it receives the early and late rain." So we all should consider ourselves like farmers in God's farm, right? We labor, long suffering, waiting for the rain to come, you know. You can sow, some years are droughts. And praise the Lord for the weather right now. It's nice, you know, but we need a lot of rain. So sometimes we need to exercise our patience. Oh, Lord, which is Christ, right? Okay, let's read Roman numeral 4 together. God's economy. I'll let you read. Amen.
Nothing is more pleasing to God than for us to take the all-inclusive.
Amen. Amen.
The all-inclusive triune God as our unique and eternal goal.
Amen. And let's read A together.
We should not be aimless people who wander about without a goal. Rather, are clear and
Saints, our clear and definite aim should be the Spirit. You know, this really matches, I believe it was the last message, concerning the two walks, right, in Galatians. You have peripateo and stoicheo. I wasn't there for the message. I didn't hear the word. But, you know, peripateo is a very general walk. You know, we're just walking and enjoying the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to have that kind of walk where we just enjoy Christ as our life. We don't have a particular, you know, agenda. When we come to the Lord in the morning, we're just open to Him, to receive Him. And whatever He wants to do, Lord, I want to do it. But then there's another kind of walk, the stoicheo walk, which is like a walk in a line, in a military formation. And that walk is still a walk in the Spirit, but it's a more structured walk, or a walk with a goal, right? We need to be those that have this kind of walk. And in order to do this, we need to set practical goals for ourselves, to take in the Word of God, to have a time to pray with the Lord. I hope all of you will set a time in the morning after this training is over. Don't stop sowing to the Spirit, right? You've been encouraged a lot in this training to have a time with the Lord, to memorize verses, to have fellowship with your companions. This is just the beginning, saints. Maybe some of you have been doing this all along. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But we need to continue, right? So we should make up, let's read B together. We should all make up our mind to take the Spirit as our goal, and even make a vow to the Lord concerning this. See, when our goal is the Spirit, we become a supply of life to others and to the churches. Amen. Amen. So we need to make up our mind. Make up our mind. The verse there is Romans 8:6, which says, set the mind on the Spirit, right? You can set your mind on the flesh, and that the result of that is death. And remember, the flesh is positive things as well as negative things, right? The whole corrupted, the whole fallen human being is the flesh. But we want to be those who set our mind on the Spirit and take the Spirit as our goal. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then we can become a supply of life to others. Well, I was considering, you know, we had a really big negative example this morning of setting the mind on the flesh. But we need some positive examples, right? Amen. So now all of these, saints, you may have heard before, but consider this. These are all things of sowing to the Spirit that reap eternal life, okay? Number one, spend a solid individual time with the Lord. Lord Jesus, we need to set a time in the morning preferably. Get up a little bit earlier to spend a solid time. It doesn't have to be necessarily a long time, but a solid time with the Lord, opening your being to Him. Two, reading and memorizing the Word of God, right? We've been practicing that during this training, but we need to continue. We need to even have a schedule. I want to read the New Testament this year. So what do I need to do in order to accomplish that goal, right? Set a goal to read through the Bible and memorize it. Find a verse that you really enjoy. Keep that verse. Maybe write it down on a card, put it in your pocket, pull it out, and memorize that verse during the day. This is sowing to the Spirit, right? Reading the ministry. Praise the Lord. We have such a rich ministry in the Lord's recovery. Continue to read. Find a book, maybe with a partner, with somebody that you have a lot of fellowship with. Pick a book that looks interesting, a title. Maybe it's, Christ is Our Life or something like that, or Christ Lives in Me, I don't know. Find a book that you would like to read and just go through it together with someone. Four, having a regular time of prayer with a companion. You know, there's a line of fellowship on the gospel, and in that line, we talked, the first matter was to have a companion. This is a very, very crucial matter, saints, to have a companion, someone that you can go to fellowship with, and to pray for your friends with, right? So seek this out. Seek this out. This is a big sowing. Of course, preaching the gospel. Continue to preach the gospel.
Amen.
How many of you have enjoyed preaching the gospel?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I heard some testimonies of just, they were so excited, they call their mother and, you know, to tell, hey, I just preached the gospel. Somebody got saved today, you know. They're so excited, right? We need to have this practice continually, right? This is a really big sowing. And it will reap eternal life, not just for you, but for them. And then shepherding new ones or younger ones. You know, again, if you have some high schoolers or some junior hires or maybe someone that you brought to the Lord, then you need to continue to visit them, to call them, shepherd them. This is a big sowing to the Spirit. Attending the church meetings. Praise the Lord. Most of you, I hope, are all in a locality where there's a regular church meetings. There's a prayer meeting, there's a Lord's table meeting, and there are home meetings. Go to those meetings. Spend time with the saints. Get built up. Enjoy the Lord. You know, this preserves you, too, from so many other things, right? I mean, I know we're all busy. We have a big test to study for, but sometimes sometimes I've heard this. Students will say, I've got a big test. I've got to study for this test. And then somehow they get distracted. You know, they're supposed to be studying for the test, but they end up doing something totally different, right? And they say, oh, I wish I'd gone to the meeting. You know? Have you ever had that experience? I don't know. Anyway, go. If you have any doubt, just go. You know, the Lord will take care of you. Yes, you need to study. Don't get me wrong. We need to spend time to study, but we need to take care of the Lord, take care of our spirit. And then prophesying on the Lord's Day, right? This is a real big sowing, sowing the Spirit into all the saints and to build up the church. And then the final big one is attending the full-time training in Anaheim. Praise the Lord. Set this as a goal, right? If this is your goal, saints, you will be so blessed. And this will be a big, there'll be a reaping eventually of eternal life. Amen.